champagne, these bitches thirsty. Versace, no hold up, I've been Versace. I'll probably pull up Roberto over Cavalli. Puffin' on Cali, probably out in the valley. Sippin' on something drowsy, bitch twerkin' like Molly. Twerk, twerk, twerk. For a real nigga selling work, promise I won't tell a word. I've been on that trip shit, way back. No, I'm Philly nigga, but I'm laid back. Get shot in your head, driving your maid back. Homie the clown, no, I don't play that. Sippin' dirty, riding dirty, I say I'm 30. Call your dog, I call my dog in here, Bob Birdie.
Man, what's going on? Welcome to another episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host. My name is Mr. Tariq Elite, also known as Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. We're going to get into some good game. A lot of stuff I'm going to talk about on today's show. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. And we're going to take a very quick commercial break, and I will be back right after these messages, so don't you go nowhere. The book, Marginalizing White Supremacy, is available now. You know, it appears that since the first election of Barack Obama, the old days and the old ways of white supremacy has reemerged and is wreaking havoc to black lives every day and in every way. So it's very important that we understand the ins and outs of white supremacy. So pick up the brand new book, Marginalizing White Supremacy, a philosophical call to action post the Obama presidency. And you can get this book at Amazon.com, you can get it at Kindle, and you can get it at Lulu.com. You can also get it at BarnesandNoble.com. Again, that book is Marginalizing White Supremacy. Are you a startup business, a musician, a small business, an artist, or just an individual who has no idea on how to market your work and get it out there, but you would like to? Check out ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com. At ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com, they give you a video training course on how to get your product out there. You can work at home. You can be your own boss. You can gain control of your life. If you don't know how to get your product out there and market it online, Three-Headed Dragon Marketing is for you. Go to ThreeHeadedDragonMarketing.com. Hey, this is Tariq Nasheed, New York Times bestselling author and producer of the critically acclaimed bestselling documentary series Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. I want you to join me in London on Sunday, March 15th, for a live lecture at Friend's House in Houston. I'm going to be discussing the international rules of racism, so trust me, you don't want to miss it. Get tickets right now at back2blackempire.com. That's back2blackempire.com.
You are now tuning in to the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's going on? Welcome back to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. And if you have not done so already, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com and get Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3. Ladies and gentlemen, I know you have done it already, by the way, so I don't want to be preaching to the choir, but if you have not gotten Hidden Colors 1, 2, and 3 already, you need to get that. And also, let me thank everybody who contributed to Hidden Colors 4, on Kickstarter. Hidden Colors 4, we exceeded our minimum funding goal. Our minimum funding goal was $60,000. And in 12 days, we exceeded that. And that's a great thing. I'm so proud of everybody who contributed to that. Right now, we're almost at 70,000. And it's been just a little over 2 weeks with the funding campaign. And we need to get it higher. We need to keep the campaign funding going so that we can make Hidden Colors 4 really pop off. Actually, I'm doing some interviews for Hidden Colors 4 later tonight. I'm going to have some photos up later tonight on Instagram and Twitter. But we need to keep the momentum going. We want to exceed. We want to take it to the top. Our next goal is 100,000. So everybody, if you have not contributed to Hidden Colors 4 on Kickstarter, go to kickstarter.com and type in Hidden Colors 4, The Religion of White Supremacy, and make your contribution. It doesn't have to be a lot. It just takes a lot of us doing a little. Now, you can put a lot. That can really get it popping off. But you can, if you give $1,000, $200, $50, $100, $2, $5. Everybody getting involved. That's the name of the game, and that's the purpose. All of us getting involved. There's so many projects on Kickstarter by those in the dominant society that gets funded literally overnight, because all of the people in the dominant society, they have a code and they know how to get on the same page and make things happen by a lot of people doing a little. We need to get that same code so that we can counter a lot of stuff. And I get on that in a minute. Let me see who's on the phone. We got a lot of calls coming in. Hold on 1 second. All right, who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Tariq? This is Fleetwood Coach Nelson from Kansas City, Missouri.
How you doing, man? What's going on in Kansas City, Missouri, bro?
I mean, it's just snowing, man. I'm just at work and stuff. I just want to get some advice from you, brother.
Go ahead. What's going on with you?
Well, basically, man, I just wanted to get your advice on, like, a little issue that I'm having with a lot of the black women here. Their job is, well, not a lot of them, you know, most of them is cool, but it just seems like a few of them, they seem to get on some type of superior role, you know, because the type of, I'm not gonna lie, I'm doing, you know, janitor work here at the job, and it just seems like some of the black women just get on some unnecessary type of superior complex type thing. You know, what's up with that? What should I do?
Well, that's a coping mechanism with a lot of black people. Black men and women kind of get on that whole thing, and it seems that black women get on it more because usually at jobs dominated by people in white society, they will put the black female in usually in higher positions than black males, and they'll have a lot of black females working there. So It appears that it's just the women doing that. But I learned that a lot of black dudes, once they get around some suspected white supremacists, they get on that bullshit too. Just take a look at ESPN. You see the coon train rolling heavy on there. So I wouldn't say that it's a black female thing. It's a black person. Whenever a black person gets close or snuggles up under white supremacy, we have a tendency to get on that bullshit, thinking that we carved ourselves a little niche under white supremacy and they're going to look out for us. And that's a really big mistake that black people make. Because the thing is, black people sitting around front and looking down on that brother who's a janitor, shit, you're a couple of paychecks away from being a janitor too if you're a supervisor and a black person at some of these jobs. So that's something that we have to get off of as black people, men and women. You feel me?
Got you.
And much respect to you, fam.
Okay, thanks a lot, brother.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, we get real funny style when we get around suspected white supremacists. And I call them suspected white supremacists because usually they create positions where we are at conflict with each other at these jobs. When a lot of black people are working together, the white supremacists will orchestrate conflict. Real heavy stuff. Let me see who else is on the phone. A lot of calls coming in. What's up? Who's calling?
What's going, Tariq? This is Jonathan. How's it going, man?
What's up, Jonathan? How you doing? Where you calling from?
Pretty good, man. Calling from Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge. What's going on down there, man?
Not much, man. Not much. It's cold as hell. What's good with you, man?
I'm good. Is it snow? I hear a lot of people telling me it's cold in the South and in the East Coast. So, man, hopefully you guys make it through those blizzards and stuff. Man. Yeah. Because I'm out here. It's sunny as hell. I'm in some flip-flops. What's on your mind, bro?
Yeah, man. Okay, so I just recently got the courage to follow my dream and pursue art. And I want to know, in this Black Conscious Movement, where does an artist fit? Like, what do you see an artist doing? How can one be useful in this whole movement?
Well, the thing is, as an artist, man, you want to be international. You want to market your stuff to an international audience. And I tell black people this all the time. A lot of times we think if we start a business or create something that we only have to sell it to black people, or we only have to market it towards black people. And that's not a bad thing, but we shouldn't limit ourselves, because again, with a lot of people in our community, there's a heavy coon train presence. There's a lot of black folks in our community who've been poisoned by white supremacy, so they have this whole negative view of themselves, and they see you in themselves. And a lot of times, black folks won't even buy a product if they know it's from another black person, because they devalue blackness themselves. So what you have to do, you're going to have to start thinking internationally. Start looking to international markets to sell your stuff, because that's the name of the game in business. You want to sell to any and everybody. Just like people who come into your community, like the Asians, the Arabs, and all these people, they'll sell anything to you. They're going to keep the money for themselves, but they're going to sell anything to anybody who will buy. And we got to get on
I
that,
think
too.
I think specifically what I'm trying to get to is how do I help advance the culture using art? Like, do you know what I mean? Making a profit is great. Money is common. It'll always come. But right. I'm saying, like, how can I help? What do you see an artist being useful? Where do you see me being useful the most?
It depends on what type of art you make. What kind of art do you have?
Oh, man, I'm a sketch artist. Getting into painting, graffiti, a little bit of everything, man. Trying to branch out, so.
Well, there's a lot of different ways you can market your art. A lot of people who are artists, you can do a million things. You can start a comic book. You can do murals within the community. Find black business owners and say, hey, let me do a mural for the side of your business or let me design something. So there's a million different ways you can get out there and work with other people in the community and kind of make a difference. So it just depends on what you do. Do you have a website, brother?
I don't have a website, but I have...
That's number one right there. You got to get your website so people can know what you got going.
Okay, cool beans. Got it.
Thanks for the call, man. Yes, indeed.
I appreciate it, buddy. Take care.
No problem, brother. All right, let's see who else we got on the phone. All right, what's up? Who's calling?
What's up, Tariq? This is Joshua Jackson from Houston Tech.
There you go. What's going on in Houston, man?
Man, you know, just the same thing, man. Hot as hell.
Yes, indeed. So what's on your mind?
Mr. Nasheed, I had two questions for you.
Go ahead.
Question number one was, because I'm such a big fan of your movies, I've watched them release. Every time they release, there's never a real big release in Houston. I wanted to know why that was.
Last time, we were going to do Houston, but the theaters weren't available, so we ended up doing Dallas, and Dallas sold out faster than all the other cities, which I was shocked. But when we do Hidden Colors 4, we're definitely going to do another release in Houston. We're definitely going to do that. This time, a lot of people from Houston were complaining about Hidden Colors 3 not being available. And again, we tried our main theaters that we use. And also in Houston, there's some other theaters that we wanted to go to, and they were cool at first until they found out what the film was about, and they were like, oh, hell no. They came up with a million and one excuses. You know how they get down in Houston.
Oh, yeah. White supremacy in Houston is real heavy.
Yes,
real
indeed.
Heavy.
That's why, man, we black folks, we need our own theaters, man. We really need our own theaters, and we need black people to support them. And we got to get off that whole bootlegging thing so that industries like that can make paper. So, it is what it is.
I agree, and I don't bootleg at all. Matter of fact, I've been buying packages, like the three-part Hidden Color packages, and giving them out to friends of mine because they've been putting the ball on my shit so much. I'm like, bro, just take it, you know?
Yes, indeed. Hey, we're definitely going to have Hidden Colors 4 in Houston, so you stay tuned for that.
Okay, good, because we need it down here.
Yes, indeed. And what was your other question?
I know you do other movies, and I really would like to see a movie about... I mean, a major motion picture, like you said a couple of weeks ago, that's not about all that, you know, banging and marching and all that. I want to see a strong black movie, and I would love to see a movie about the Panthers. I mean, a major motion picture about the Panthers, not one like the movie Panther that came out.
Right.
Would you ever consider putting out a movie like that?
Something else. I would like to do something about Mansa Musa, about the Moors. I would like to do a lot of stuff, and I do plan on doing a lot of stuff, but again, I got to first get the conditioning of the community in a space where they will promote it and also support it. Because right now, people say, well, we need this, we need that. But when you get it, cats be out here bootlegging, and that is a major problem. See, we can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't say, we hate Tyler Perry because Tyler Perry ain't making the right movies, but when somebody makes the right movies, you bootleg it. So it don't work like that. You can't have one without the other. So we got to get on the same mindset where we're going to support something like that when it comes out so that you can keep making it. You feel me?
I do feel you, and I totally agree, and I'm going to send my little $20, $30 to Hidden Colors 4, and when it drops, we hope to see it in Houston, brother.
Yes, sir, man. Much respect, fam. See, that's the thing, family. People complain, and that's a lot of people will sit up and complain just for the sake of complaining about something. And I won't say just for the sake of complaining. Complaining about just random shit, looking for shit to complain about, that will keep you from building anything. Because people will sit up and say, man, Hollywood needs to give us more movies. Hollywood needs to accept us. And no, listen, you got to accept yourself. That's the theme of today's show. Today's show theme is accepting yourself. We have to accept ourselves. When you're out there trying to spit and you're out there trying to campaign, a lot of times you wear your insecurities on your sleeve, and women can see that. Let me talk to my fellas. Let's get into a little macking right now. When you're out there trying to campaign and you're not sure of yourself, you're looking for the female to elevate you, you're looking for the female to give you confidence, you're looking for the female to accept you. Women can see a dude who's looking for acceptance. And to a woman, that's majorly weak. That's major weak for a dude to step to a woman looking for acceptance. Because see, there's a difference from being accepted and being chosen. Let me say that again. There's a difference between being accepted and being chosen. See, people will accept you on a pity level. Like, they'll accept a stray puppy. Like, oh, look at that puppy. Let me bring him in and I'll give him some food. You're being accepted. You're not really preferred, but it's like, okay, you'll do temporarily. But people choose a pit bull, or they choose a high pedigree pet. They choose something with a high pedigree. And when you're thorough with your game, you're not just going to get accepted. You're going to get a hard choose. You're going to get chosen. And being chosen goes a long way, because now that puts you in a position of power. People have stepped to you because of something that you have, because you've accepted yourself. Chosen people learn how to accept themselves. They're cool with themselves. They've empowered themselves. They said to themselves, I like me enough to build me up and elevate me up and become thorough, so that now when people step to me, I don't worry about them accepting me. I've accepted myself. So now they have to just choose and get on the same plane I'm on. That's a position of power, and that's the position you want to be in. Not just in the dating game, but in anything you do. And this goes for you too, ladies. Men like a confident woman. Men like a woman who's accepted herself. You don't want no insecure chick. Now, a dude will accept an insecure chick, accept you for some ass and then toss you to the curb, but a real choose, meaning that this dude is going to put you on wife status or try to get you into wifey material position, they do that to women who accept themselves. Women who are confident enough in themselves to say, hey, look, I don't need you to accept me. I've accepted myself, and you can take it or leave it. I got shit popping with me. If you like it, let's roll. If you don't like it, I'm good, nigga. You can respect that. And that's a person who has accepted themselves. And collectively, we in the melanoid community, we're going to have to learn how to accept ourselves. Because that's something that we do not do. And this is why we are exploited by other people. On my Instagram and Twitter, I've been putting up a lot of pictures. We've been promoting and campaigning for the Hidden Colors 4 Kickstarter. And I've been putting up a lot of funny memes. And the memes are pictures of things that black folks are known to spend money on, like weaves, blonde ponytails, bootleg movies, clothes, shoes, bad food, weed. I've been putting up a lot of pictures, kind of making little jokes. And a few people, there's some fake nigga outrage. Some people are getting pretend offended, but that's good, because this is holding up a mirror. And the thing is, I'm showing people in the community, we spend money on bullshit without second guessing anything, without questioning anything. We gladly give those in the dominant society every dime we have for utter bullshit, and they give us nothing but disrespect and contempt in return. But when it comes to a project like Hidden Colors 4 that has a track record, the Hidden Colors series has had a track record of educating not just adults, but your children. They're showing my films in schools all around the world. I have no idea why Hidden Colors, the campaigns on Kickstarter, has not reached $1 million by now. It should have reached over $1 million. If a white project did what Hidden Colors did, it would make $10 million damn dollars on Kickstarter alone, on Kickstarter. Because those are people in the dominant society, they do not play games when it comes to their education and their children. They value what educates their children. See, black folks, we got to get on this thing where we value our children. Children love the Hidden Colors series. Small children, not just adults, children all over the world, they show Hidden Colors in schools and the kids love it. That alone should, everybody and their mom should be on Kickstarter right now, today, putting Hidden Colors for over $1 million in contributions. And I'm keeping it 110. If we spend our money on anything, that should be it. We got to stop playing games. And I don't care if people are offended because I'm posting up pictures of hair weaves and shoes and all that, because we got to stop wasting our money on nigger trinkets. We got to stop being the nigger trinket people and start valuing and accepting ourselves. Because again, there's a lot of black folks out here, because Hidden Colors has not been given the green light by anybody in the dominant white society, there's some black people who are still skeptical about even co-signing Hidden Colors. Let's just be real, even though it's a very successful documentary series, because it has not been co-signed by those in the dominant white society, black people, there's some black people who's still on the plantation. They're still scared. And we're going to have to start valuing our children and valuing the type of education they have and accept ourselves enough to support that. Not just on Kickstarter, but when it comes out. And stop with the goddamn bootlegs. Because we need this media. This is our media. We need our media to counter the bullshit that's coming from those in the dominant society. Because the thing is, we get attacked daily by the dominant society. And the reason why they attack us is because they know that there's no counter to it. There's no counter to it. A lot of black folks are scared to counter them. That's why when that Exodus movie came out, when they were shitting on our history and the producers were coming out basically shitting on our history, look up that Exodus movie. If you notice, out of people in Hollywood, in the entertainment business, I was really one of the only, and I'm not saying this to brag, but unfortunately, I say this very unfortunately, I was one of the only people in the entertainment industry who would speak out against that, because a lot of people were scared to speak out against it, because, you know, you don't want to, I guess, mess your money up in Hollywood or whatever, but a lot of people were scared to speak out about it. A lot of people were scared to speak out against it. And that's a problem. If you Google Tariq Nasheed and Exodus movie, you'll see that I was one of the few people speaking out against that. And I'm glad the movie flopped, because it was very disrespectful the way they put that movie out. And the movie flopped. But we need to be able to counter some of the stuff that's going on. And that's what the Hidden Colors series is for. It's to counter that. That's our version of CNN. Because, see, Geraldo Rivera, for those who don't know, the journalist, he just came out with some bullshit talking about how hip-hop is the cause of black problems and not racism. He said hip-hop is the problem of black issues and it's not racism. In the last 10 years, it's not racism. Hip-hop is the problem. And the thing is, when people say stuff like that, they know they're full of shit. That's why they don't have any real people on those shows to counter them. They don't have real people on like Fox News and all that to counter that. They get people on the coon train, people who they handpick who's going to low-key co-sign them, or people whose mouthpiece is so weak they can over-talk them very fast. So the thing is, this is what the Hidden Colors series is for, to counter the people like Geraldo who come out talking about hip-hop is the problem in the black community and it does more damage in the black community more than racism. And I would tell Geraldo, hip-hop didn't cause jury nullification, which is what we have in the court system every day that's funneling black people into prisons. Hip-hop didn't cause gentrification that the white supremacists are doing in the black neighborhoods all around the country. Hip-hop didn't cause the shutting down of black schools. Hidden Colors, hip-hop, it didn't cause all-white labor unions. And if that were the case, most people who listen to hip-hop, 70% of the audience, they're white. So if hip-hop is this big problem, how come it's not affecting white people then? What is it about black people that hip-hop is making this big negative effect and it's not making the same effect on white people? See, these are the kind of questions we need to be able to ask people like Geraldo when they come out with their fuckery. And that's what the Hidden Colors series is for. But the thing is, a lot of us, what we'll do, we'll start begging these people in the media, oh, please stop talking bad about us. Can we show you how good we are? We're not all bad. Can you please accept us, please? And we spend time as melanoid people trying to put on this respectability cloak to get accepted. And the name of the game for the dominant society is to never accept you fully. It doesn't matter what you do. This whole hip-hop is the problem. That's a con game. That is nothing but another con game so black people can start tap dancing and say, well, look, I'm not into hip-hop. Can you accept me? Fuck them. Accept yourself. You got to accept yourself. This is accept yourself time, family. When you embrace the Hidden Colors series and support it, you're accepting yourself. When you educate your children, you're accepting yourself. And again, we get tossed bones. We beg for acceptance and we get tossed bones by the dominant society. We get a few crumbs and bones and we can't be content with that. For example, BET, they just ran a miniseries called Book of Negroes. It wasn't a bad miniseries. It was basically like Roots. It was very similar to Roots. They even had some people from Roots in the movie. They had Louis Gossett Jr. who was in Roots and he was in this miniseries that was on BET. And the sister who played the lead, very, very, very wonderful actress. The Book of Negroes wasn't bad. If you can check it out, check it out. If you watch the Book of Negroes, the first 20 minutes of the movie basically told you everything you needed to know about our problem as people of African descent. It was a scene that really told everything. It was very telling. It explained our situation perfectly. There was a scene where they were in Africa and there were other African tribal members who captured rival members. And there was a scene where there was this little girl and in the movie was told through the eyes of this little girl who grew up and throughout her whole life, this woman from when she was a child, she's telling her story about slavery. So she was, as a little girl, she was captured by other African rivals who were sanctioned by the white supremacists. Let's put it in context. We've got to put it in context. These other African rival tribes were sanctioned by the white supremacists. And there was a scene where this girl, she was in chains, being carted off to walk towards the coast of Africa. And there was a little boy who was her overseer, another little African boy who was one of the captives. He was helping the captives. They looked around the same age. He may have been a little older. So he took a liking to her, the little girl who he was basically capturing for the white supremacists. So they put the little girl on the boat and the rest of the tribal members or whatever. And then the little boy who helped the white supremacists get the little girl and the other people, they put him on the boat. They put him on the boat in chains. Now, he sat up here and helped the white supremacists, and they ended up putting him in chains and putting him in slavery, too. And that happened a lot in slavery. That's why people kill me with all that, well, your African brother enslaved you. What you talking about? Y'all threw all of us on the damn boat. Everybody who helped them, they threw them on the boats, too. They enslaved them, too. And that has been our problem as African people. We think that if we help the white supremacists, that we're going to somehow get a pass. And they keep throwing us on the same boat as the people we helped them capture. That's been a common recurring theme with black folks, and we have not learned from that major mistake. We've been making that same dumbass mistake over and over again, assisting the white supremacists with capturing and throwing other people under the bus, knowing that they'll do the same thing to us. That's what happened to Bill Cosby. Yeah. Bill Cosby thought that, okay, I have a lot of money, I'm gonna start dumping on black folks, and then they threw him under the bus. That's why I say, man, don't, as black people, don't ever get around people in the dominant society and start bad-mouthing or bashing other black people. That's the worst thing you can do. That's why, you know what, I have a lot of respect for Eddie Murphy. They did a Saturday Night Live reunion the other day, and Eddie Murphy was there, and they wanted Eddie Murphy to participate in a skit. It was like a Jeopardy skit or whatever. And what they wanted Eddie Murphy to play Bill Cosby. And Eddie Murphy said, no, thank you. I'm good. I ain't doing it. They wanted to get Eddie Murphy to sit up here and help them shit on Bill Cosby after Bill Cosby basically saved NBC in the 80s. And Eddie did the right thing. Eddie was smart enough to say, no, thank you. I'm good. I got the utmost respect for Eddie for doing that. Because, see, they tried to do something slick with Eddie back in the 90s when David Spade was on there. David Spade made this joke about, hey, look, a falling star. And then he showed a picture of Eddie Murphy. And Eddie Murphy called up to Saturday Night Live and checked all of them. Eddie Murphy checked their asses. Like, hey, I know y'all ain't throwing darts at me on Saturday Night Live, but I made this show. I made this show. This was the Eddie Murphy show when I was on it, and you know it. If it wasn't for me, none of you would have a show or a job. How dare you try to throw darts at me? Eddie checked their ass, as he should have. And this is why Eddie had not participated in a lot of the Saturday Night Live reunions, because he's like, if you're throwing darts at me, well, I'll just remain absent for all your little reunions for a while. And this was the first time he showed up for a Saturday Night Live event. He hadn't hosted or anything, because that was very disrespectful for them to do that. Eddie knew the game. He knows the game. Very smart dude. Whatever you say about Eddie, it's whatever, but Eddie's a smart dude and he knows the game. And we got to start knowing the game and get a code of conduct. Eddie was abiding by a code of conduct. There was another story that came out today. I want y'all to look this up. I saw it on MTVnews.com about the actress comedian Monique. Now, Monique, y'all know that Monique won an Oscar for her role in the movie Precious, the Lee Daniels movie Precious. And in this article, Monique talked about being blackballed in Hollywood after her Oscar. Very interesting article. I want y'all to read this article after you listen to my show. But Monique said she got a call from Lee Daniels, and they were talking. And Lee Daniels informed Monique that she had been blackballed in Hollywood. And Monique was like, well, why? What did I do? Because Monique was supposed to, if you notice, Monique has not been in a lot of stuff since the Precious movie. Since she won that Oscar, she hasn't been in a lot of stuff. And Monique is a phenomenal actress and comedian. But Lee Daniels, and it's very interesting that he would kind of relay that message to Monique. So who's Lee Daniels talking to? You know, they're letting Lee Daniels in on a lot of information here, by the way. That didn't escape me. Because Lee Daniels is the dude right now with the show Empire. They're a very popular show. So Lee Daniel, he has movies like The Butler. So Lee Daniels is in there with that Hollywood crowd. So he informed Monique that, hey, Monique, they blackballed you out here. And she was like, well, why? What did I do? And he's basically talking in code like, well, you didn't play the game, Monique. And this is what they said in the article. In the article, they said that he told her that she didn't play the game. And she's like, what does that mean? And he just got off the phone and didn't say anything else about it. So that's very interesting that they would so-called blackball you for not playing the game. So what game are they talking about? Are they forcing people to coon? Because see, I've worked with Monique before. And Monique, she's not going to be buck dancing too heavy like that. Look, I got the utmost respect for Monique. Because I think Monique is one of those people who will say, hey, look, there's certain things, you know, I'm a comedian and y'all laugh and joke, but I'm not going to just be, you know, I'm not going to just go to a point where I totally degrade myself. You know what I'm saying? I don't think Monique is that type of person. Look, when I worked with Monique on Charm School years ago, I think back in 06, 07, something like that. It was 06, 07. Y'all remember the Flavor of Love and all that stuff? That's when those shows were hot. That was the beginning of a lot of the ratchet reality shows where sisters on there fighting and all that. That was the beginning of that. So we were doing an episode of Charm School with the Flavor of Love girls. And they brought me in because I was promoting one of my books at the time. I don't know which one it was at the time, but I was promoting my books. And, you know, the people at VH1, they called me. Real good people, by the way. Some of the execs, I was very, very cool with the execs. Real good people. And they wanted me to come up there and just kind of teach the girls some game and some etiquette, some stuff from some of my books. So we went to this big mansion up in Encino, which is in the Valley area. Real, real big mansion, real nice place. They were doing the production and huge, huge mansion. And I think the girls were staying in some parts of the mansion and Monique had a suite upstairs in the mansion and they're just cameras and production crew all over the place. So we're there. I filmed my segment and I was upstairs in Monique's room and we were watching the playback of everything because there was a monitor in there. And I think the producers were encouraging the girls to fight. So the girls they were all fighting in the house and spitting on each other. Just real, real ratchet. And the producers were just kind of looking at it on the monitor, kind of giggling, and they were just like high-fiving each other, basically. They were like, oh, this is great. And I remember Monique checked the shit out of them. Those producers, she was like, wait a minute. You know what? This ain't a good look. I don't like the way this shit is being portrayed. I don't like the way these sisters are being portrayed. I don't like the way these black women are looking. I don't like the way y'all making them look. Monique checked the hell out of them. She's like, look, I'm not laughing. I ain't feeling it. Then there was an awkward silence and, you know, everybody proceeded to do what they did. But I have the utmost respect for Monique for checking them on that because it was a bad look. And we were there to genuinely kind of, you know, give the ladies some game to present themselves in a proper way. And I know that fighting and ratchetness is great TV, but we don't have anything to balance that out. So again, I got to see how Monique gets down and, you know, she kind of stands up for herself and she has a lot of dignity. So as a black person in Hollywood, they kind of want you to compromise your dignity to a certain degree. So if that is true, that she was blacklisted, that's a very unfortunate thing. This is why we have to create our own media. We have to create our own networks. We have to create our own films, our own documentary, and that's what we're doing with the Hidden Colors series. And when we do it, family, we need brothers and sisters in the community like you to continue to support it. Everybody, if you're on the computer right now, which you should be, go to Kickstarter.com and contribute to Hidden Colors for today. Let's get that thing up to $100,000 today. We're at about $70,000 now. We can get it up to $100,000 today. Playtime is over. We need our own media. We got to get it popping. We got to do it for our families. We got to do it for our children, because we got to give our kids that game. And speaking of games, shout out to my new son, me and Peanut. We had a new son this Sunday. We had a son this Sunday. Our son, his name is Asir, A-S-I-R. Isn't that a cute name? That's a powerful name. That's an African name. West African name. It means preferred one. But our son's name is Asir Cairo Nasheed. Beautiful kid. We had a natural home birth, and I talked about that on Ustream this Sunday. And that's another thing. I'm going to talk more about that on the show. Sisters out there, y'all got to start looking into those natural home births, because our son looks so healthy and just strong and just thorough. When we had our first son, TJ, at the hospital, when he came out, because Peanut was so doped up on the epidural and all that old shit, our son, his face came out puffy, had little bumps on his nose. They said it was some kind of baby acne. It was a whole bunch of shit that was scaring the hell out of us. But with our new son, who's born naturally at home, came out skin smooth, just looking 100% healthy. And we got to start looking into doing more home births and things like that. But I digress. I'll talk about that stuff on some later shows. But anyway, y'all, I will check you guys out on Ustream this Sunday. Follow me on Instagram at Tariq Elite, so y'all can see pictures of my son, Asir. Beautiful kid. Also follow me on Twitter at Tariq Nasheed. And if you want to go to Kickstarter, you can go directly to Kickstarter.com and go to Hidden Colors 4 or go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. I'ma holla. Peace.